So let's just make our confession here in God's Spirit and His Word to speak to us today. So our confidence really is in the Lord. It's not in our ability. The arm of flesh will fail us, even with good intentions. But thank God for His faithfulness and His power. So would you say it with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me for those who may be listening to this, or even if you're streaming or watching right now, I want to just thank God for you tuning in wherever you may be. I know we have a couple people, well, we have a few people who are streaming and watch and listen to the services online locally who physically aren't able to be here. Maybe sometimes schedule or just some health issues going on. And also, I know we have one couple over in North Carolina, a couple of people down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so we thank God for you. I also want to just say a word to those who listen every week. Thank God for those at the Bloom Retirement Home in Emporia, who all of you staff and the residents, they get a CD and play it, I guess, over a boombox and sit out in the hallways to keep the social distance there. But they're listening to God's word. That's such a blessing to me. I just thank God for those of you who are involved in that, and thank God for that ministry. And one day, I trust that the Lord will open that door, that I'll be able to go and meet some of you in person and just to be there with you. And I'll let you know what a blessing you've been. We trust we are to you. On our website, I put an outline, kind of like a little blog from the message. We have a kids' church take-home page at the elementary take-home every week. So even if you're unable to join us maybe one particular week, you can go there and check it out, clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org. Psalms 9 and verse 10. Psalms 9 and verse 10 says this, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." I would like to ask you, and I know we may have some different translations, but would you read that out loud with me off the screen, as this will kind of be our theme verse for today and even this week, that maybe you would put forth for effort to just meditate on it, get it down in your heart and spirit, even memorize it so that you could use it the rest of your life. But would you read this out loud with me? Ready? "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." I want to just build on that theme this morning, but I wanted to just see, and I might not ask you to do it out loud unless you want to, but last week I had given you a scripture, it's 1 John 5:14. Did anyone take a shot at that last week, 1 John 5:14? Miss, okay, yes, a couple of you, several of you. Would you like to try it? You want to give it a shot? Okay, Miss Amanda? All right, there we go. All right. If this is the confidence that we can have, anyone, you want to go ahead and any either of you, Ms. Sherry? Or, okay. All right. She's. Let me repeat that because people can't hear on the mic, but she's making it personal, and she's saying, "This is the confidence that I have." Okay. If I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. This is the confidence that I have in Him. I love that personalizing. I try to do that too with the scripture. In fact, I'll go and give you the title of the message here this morning, because there's a verse, and I'll show it to you right at the end here, God willing. But there's a scripture in the New Testament that tells us to trust in the living God. So I like to make it personal. And so the message this morning is just simply, I trust in the living God. I trust in the living God. Again, keeping with that theme of Psalms 9:10, I trust in the living God. trusting God is a way of life for followers of Jesus. It's for those who know the Lord. Trusting him is a way of life. Now, I didn't say we always do everything perfect, but it's a way of life for those who are truly followers of Jesus. Now, anyone can show up at church, anyone can be religious, but for people who know the Lord, trusting the Lord is a way of life. Now, I don't want you to say anything out loud, please, but just let's be honest before the Lord. What have you been trusting in lately for peace? What have you been trusting in lately for comfort? What have you been trusting in lately for strength or security? What have you been trusting in for protection or provision? What have you been trusting in for wellness? I trust in the living God. And whatever we may have done in the past, this is how I look at it, that's in the past. And this is a new day. And you say, oh, I did this or did that. All right. Then today, would you make this choice by God's grace that from this day forward, by God's grace, we're going to confess and live by the truth that I trust in the living God. I trust in the living God. Again, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. What's in a name? And those who know your name. Now, we pick names sometimes just because we like the name. When our daughter was born, for some reason, we were thinking, because somebody had just told us stuff, you know, it was a boy. And so when she was born, I ran back to the apartment real quick and got the baby name book and came back. So we came up with her name. And so it is the name is a blessing. But in the scripture, names meant something. And God has a name. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. What is his name? It's many different things. Or many different names, right? But there's one when Moses said, when God told Moses, I'm calling you to lead my people out of slavery. And Moses was like, I'm not the guy. I'm not the one. And then he said, but if you're going to send me, I don't even know your name. Who am I going to tell them? What did God say? I am. It's everything. See, name represents character. It represents authority. It represents power. When the apostles healed a man in Jesus' name in the New Testament, the religious leaders said, by what name or what authority, what power have you done this? And they said, let it be known to you by the name of Jesus, this man stands before you whole. So it's authority, power, character. And so the I am. So when we say to those who know your name, he's everything we need him to be. I am your Savior. I am your righteousness. I am your shalom. I am your peace. I am your shepherd. You'll never walk a step in this life without me. I am your protector. I am your provider. I am. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. So I trust in the living God because I know his name. I want to, in these moments we have here this morning, try to answer two questions. I believe they're legitimate questions, and I hope you'll think about the answer. If someone were to ask you, because if you said, hey, trust God. If they were to ask you, can I trust God? How would you answer, and not just yes? Why would you answer? If you say yes, all right? So can I trust God? Oh, yeah, you can trust him. How do I know? All right? And then, okay, I can trust him. What can I trust him for? So can I trust him, and what can I trust him for? I want to take just a few of God's. We have many reasons to trust God. But I want to just, maybe you want to write them down. I'll give you the scripture references for three, okay? The first one is in 1 John, and I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. It's 1 John 4, verses 10 and 16. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 16. The Bible says this in 1 John 4:10. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Thank God. That real love, thank God for the love that we have, but the greatest love is the love God has for us. Completely undeserved, unearned, it's just who He is. This is real love. And then verse 16, we know how much God loves us. And notice, we have put our trust in His love. You see how this the trusting is linked to God's love for us? We have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The first characteristic I would say, if someone would say, can you trust God? Yes, because God is love. God is love. It's not just that He has love. He is love. It's who He is. It's His person. It's His nature. It's character. So God is love. And I just noticed someone sitting out here. Miss, I guess okay to say the name, Drain. It's good to see you here with us too this morning. I know you've been out. You've been sharing with your husband, I believe, a little bit, ministering to him in his time. So it's good to see you here with us too. But God is love. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. That means separation from God. But God loved us so much that He gave His only Son, the sinless Son of God. The Father was willing to sacrifice the life of His Son in judgment for our sins. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to bear our judgment, to die spiritually in our place, to bear that separation from God so that we could be forgiven, because Jesus then conquered death and He is able to save all who come to Him in faith. Thank God for His love that He displayed for us. He demonstrated it to us on the cross. Jesus died in our place so that we could be forgiven and experience God's freedom as His sons and daughters in the family of God. It's comforting for me to know, this helps me. God, if God sacrificed His Son for me, He's not out to hurt me. And I can trust Him. I trust in the living God. Would you say it with me? I trust in the living God. So God is love. Second, God is all wise. Let me give you the scripture reference for that. God is all wise. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17 says this. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. See, God is all-knowing. He has all knowledge. But wisdom is even greater because He knows how to take that knowledge and make the best of it. And God knows what is best in every situation. That's wisdom. God knows what is best in every one of our lives. He sees the full picture. So He knows what is best not only for time right now, He knows what is best for eternity. He's never shaken. He's never surprised. He's never caught off guard. And we can trust Him that because He is love and because He is wise, somehow when it's all said and done, I can trust Him. And if I will trust Him, it will be all right. He will work all things out together for my good and His glory. So God is love. God is all wise. And God is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Let me read you a couple of verses from over in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says this, that when Jesus is speaking of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says He will manifest that appearing in His own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, that means he's the sovereign, he's the highest ruler and the highest authority. The blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and notice these words, please, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and what? What kind of power? Everlasting power. I trust in the living God. He's the life-giving God. He's the sin-conquering, devil-defeating, grave-destroying, life-giving God. He's the living God. God has the power. He has the goods. He has the ability to back up what he says he can do. So God is love. God is all wise. God is all powerful. And we can trust him. If we doubt God's heart and God's power, we won't trust him. I better say that again. If we doubt God's heart and God's ability, we will not trust him, because we won't want to release ourselves to his will and to his care, because we don't know if he has our best interests at heart. He might allow something to come to me that hurts me or does something. And I'll say this, in our mind's eye, if you look at Jesus suffering on the cross and then look at an empty tomb, and I say, God can be trusted. He is love. He is wise. He is powerful. And yes, we can trust in the living God. I want to give you one scripture here, and then I'll conclude with the what can we trust him for, just a few examples. If you want to write this verse down, it's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says this. You put it on the screen. It says that the people of God were helped against the enemy who came against them. It says they were helped. The Hagrites were delivered into their hand, and all who were with them. Notice what happened. For they cried out to God when? In the battle. Please keep that thought in mind. They cried out to God in the battle, and God heeded their prayer. Why? Because they put their trust in him. They cried out to God in prayer, and God heeded their prayer because they put their trust in him. I'm really trying to do this, and I've been reminded even this week that when I have a battle, and when I have a test, and when I have a trial, and that just goes with this life, we're going to have them. But I'm really trying to remind myself that every battle, every test, every trial is an opportunity to trust in the living God. It's an opportunity to trust God. It's an opportunity to draw closer to my Heavenly Father. So every test, every trial, every battle, how do we handle? They're going to come. Those times are going to come. But what will we do in those moments? It's an opportunity to put our trust in the living God. Let me give you a definition of trust real quick. Trust means to rely on or to put confidence in. It can even mean to expect. So when we talk about trusting in the living God, it's saying, I'm relying on God. I'm putting my confidence in him and him alone. I'm expecting God to do what he said he would do. So that's what it means to trust. So when I say I'm trusting in a living God, I'm not just wishful thinking. I'm not just hoping. It's trust. There's something solid because God is solid. I'm relying on him. I'm confident in him. I'm expecting him not just to give me everything I want when I want it. I'm expecting him to be faithful to who he is and to his word. And I can trust him. I trust in the living God. Would you say it with me? I trust in the living God. Would you turn to someone socially distant from you and tell them, I trust in the living God. Quickly, what can we trust him for? Psalms 56. Will you turn there with me if you're still in Psalms 9? Psalms 56. And again, we can trust him for many different, just I don't want to use the word things, but we can trust him in many different ways. I want to just give you three here quickly this morning. I trust in the living God. Psalm 56, beginning in verse 1. David wrote this song. The Psalms are basically songs that were sung, prayers that were prayed. And this song was written by David when he was captured by the Philistines. And he wrote, there was a popular tune back then called A Dove in a Distant Land or something like that, I think it was, says there. And he took that popular tune and he wrote a song and put his prayer to that tune. And so when he was captured by the Philistines, this is what he writes in verse 1. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Verse 4, "In God I will praise his word. In God I've put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" One opportunity we have to trust in the living God is when we're afraid. When we're afraid. And we're going to experience in this human body, in this life, unless you're the rare exception, I don't think I've ever met anyone who would say, "I've never sensed any type of anxiety or fear." I don't think I've met a Christian who has said, no one has told me that I've never have a feeling of anxiety. I never have any kind of fear come up in me. I'm just perfect peace all the time. Well, God bless you. I'm not there yet. I'm just going to be honest with you. There are times, man, when you sense that anxiety, you sense that fear. Sometimes in the unknown, our mind wants to race ahead, and it'll put the fear in place for you. It's like it'll start imagining every bad possibility, every bad scenario, every bad thing that could possibly happen instead of thinking of something good and using our imagination, our mind. But that's what I'm saying. Everyone's going to experience the emotions and the anxiety and the fear. The issue is not whether we will experience. The issue is what will we do when we experience it? I like what she's written a book. You've heard the title. Joyce Meyer said, "Do it afraid." Do it afraid. Because see, again, sometimes maybe we're doing something for the first time and there's a little bit of anxiety. I'm not talking about that necessarily, but there is a fear that really is more satanic in origin, and it is designed to paralyze us, to keep us from doing God's will. And in those moments, that's when we have a decision to make and we can say, "This is an opportunity for me to trust in the living God." I love what David did here. And I've done this on occasion. And I can tell you, it's a blessing. It works. When we start confessing something about God's word, just like what David did here, he's saying, "Oh, all these enemies are coming against me. There's so many, so many." And then he said, "Oh, Most High, and those who know your name will put their trust in you." He says, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you." And then he said, "Whenever I'm afraid," he didn't say he'll never be afraid. He said, "Whenever I'm afraid," what? "I will trust in you." And then notice how he's speaking to himself. He's like, in verse 4, he says, "In God, I'll praise his word. In God, I put my trust. I'll not fear. What can flesh do to me?" Do you almost sense like his faith building as he's confessing that to himself? That's the same thing. Instead of just kind of letting those thoughts dominate our minds, let's open up our mouths and use the sword of the Spirit and let's revolve it in our heart and meditate on it, speak it out loud and let that build our faith. You can sense it when you do it. If we'll do it, sing it, pray it, speak it, and build your faith. So whenever I'm afraid, let it be an opportunity. Don't get discouraged. Don't get condemned. Just say, "Lord, I want to trust you right now. So what can I trust him to do when I'm afraid?" Well, we can face the fear and trust God for peace and strength to do His will, regardless of how we feel. We can trust God. So I'm afraid right now, but I know this is God's will. So Lord, I'm going to trust You to just give me the strength to do what I need to do, because I'm going to do Your will. Kim, would you help me a second? I want to ask you a question, because I know you know something, okay? You just stay right there, okay? I know you know some scripture, all right? There's a verse that I've heard you say before. It's Philippians 4:13. It says, I can
do all things through Christ with strengthens us.
Okay. I can do all things who strengthens me, or us. That's right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We'll make it personal. Who strengthens me. So here's the fear. But what am I going to do? I can do all things through Christ. I know what I've got to do. I can trust God to give me strength, to give me peace, and do His will. Second, I can trust Him not only when I'm afraid, I can trust Him when I'm stressed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Stressed. Wow. If you didn't know stress before 2020, wow. God bless you. I mean, we've had pandemic. We've had, goodness gracious, even here our own nation, though, we've had tension and just, you know, I guess even the election just kind of fit with 2020, not even knowing the results for a while. Oh, my goodness. And then that's kind of like as a whole, the whole world has experienced like increased stress in 2020. And then, of course, we have, you know, our own individual lives that we're dealing with things. And the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says, we do not want you to be ignorant. That just means unaware, okay? It's not a put down. We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Notice these words, how strong they are, please. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. He's saying, now, I want you to know these are godly men, and they're doing God's will. And notice what he says. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Godly men doing God's will, but experiencing such a degree of stress, they felt like they didn't even know if they were going to live. That's pressure, man. That is stress. Now, we're going to have stress at times, but too much stress or prolonged stress is damaging. And notice, thank God he didn't stop there. Verse 9 says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Isn't that something? When they came to the end of themselves humanly, they said, I've got God. I have nothing else. I'm not leaning on the arm of flesh. All I have, but I thank you that I've got God. I'm learning to trust in the living God. I feel like I've got the sentence of death on me, but I trust in the living God. Verse 10, He has delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Past, present, and future, trust in the living God. He used that time of stress to say, I'm going to use this to learn there's nothing of this life I can put my ultimate hope and confidence and trust in and rely on outside of God. I trust in the living God. So what can I trust Him for when I'm stressed? Let me read this testimony to you real quick. There's a lady, I love reading her writing in one of the devotions I read. Her name is Julia Attaway. She lives up in New York. And because I know over the years of reading her writings that her family's been through a tremendously trying time over years. This is years. Battling clinical depression. She just had one of her children try to take their own life. And that was all going on. And then moved into a little different apartment there in the city in New York. And in one of this week's devotions, she writes this. She says, one of my kids was still in the hospital after a suicide attempt. This is the morning she woke up in their new apartment there. They had moved out of their previous place. And another one of the children was struggling mightily with the stress of the situation. And then because they were trying to work out something with their past landlord, she called the landlord. The landlord won't return her calls. So she got all of that going on. I can't even imagine, you know, you got children going through such. I'm not putting them down for that. You understand? I'm just saying that's a heavy burden, man. That's a heavy burden. And then she woke up that morning and she says, this is what she prayed. She just said, you were right, Lord. Feeling helpless doesn't mean everything is hopeless. Feeling helpless doesn't mean everything is hopeless. She got up that morning and said, I love you, Lord. And she went on in and she said, I don't know what today holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but all I do is pray. I'm going to trust. But here's how she closed it. She said, Lord, teach me to trust in you more than I trust my feelings. Wow. Teach me to trust. So I can, if I had one morning, for some reason, I woke up several days this week about 3. My body was just tired. And so I was downstairs. That's typically, you know, I'll go downstairs and just go in the office and, you know, I would maybe start praying or reading or something. And then Kim woke up one morning real early and she wasn't feeling good. And I felt it physically in my body. I told her, I said, I feel clammy. I felt clammy. I could feel a tightness. You know, it was just like I could feel the stress of just the whatever was going on through the days and maybe not sleeping very well and so forth. And this is what I was saying. I had to remind myself that this is an opportunity for me to trust God. So I can get up here and say whatever from the pulpit. Everybody has to live it out. But I was started to doing that, and it made a difference. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. When we begin to focus on the Lord, confess His word, it's like David, it will build your faith. I trust in the living God. Will you say it with me? I trust in the living God. Now, stress, it may be I need to trust God for wisdom. I just heard this on the news a couple nights ago. They're saying on the news, because of all the widespread stress in the world, these experts, I guess, are saying, step outside. It can actually relieve stress to just go outside. Get out of just the indoors and go outside. Hug a tree. And I didn't say that. Just go outside, go for a little walk. Enjoy God's creation. Tune in with the Lord and just be outside. And sometimes maybe we need to just trust God for wisdom in our schedule. Sometimes we book ourselves so heavy that we have no margin. I remember reading a scripture years ago in Matthew 25 where Jesus said about the 5 wise and foolish virgins. And he said, it wasn't talking about stress per se, but it really spoke to my heart because he said, the wise said no. And sometimes it can be wise to say no. If not, something will crowd us. It'll crowd out even our time for God if we allow it. And then that contributes to the stress because we need the Lord. So trust in the Lord. Sometimes it's just wisdom and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm so stressed. I want to be like the apostles right now. There's not a whole lot I can do about it, but pray and trust you. So I'm just going to trust you for rest. It takes faith to rest. It takes trust to get that inner rest. And so we can trust him. And then one more, we can trust him when we're afraid. We can trust him when we're stressed. And we can trust him when we're blessed. All right? So when I'm afraid, when I'm stressed, and when I'm blessed. Let me close with this scripture here, just a couple more verses. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, 17. I trust in the living God. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I trust in the living God. Would you say it with me? I trust in the living God. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 6, 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor trust in uncertain riches. And before you say, well, I'm not rich. Hold on just a moment. If you ask 79 million people over in the Democratic Republic of Congo who make an average of $1.18 a day, their average income is $430 a year. Do you think they would think we're rich? $1.18 a day. I know some kids get allowance. They may rake in more than $430 a year. I don't know. That's your business. But we are blessed. Let's just be honest. We are blessed. And he says, command those who are rich in this life, don't put your trust, though. Don't get haughty. Don't put your trust in those uncertain riches. But put your trust in the living God. That's where the scripture title or the title of the message came from. Put your trust in the living God. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. God's not stingy. He wants us to be blessed. He just wants us to use it wisely, and he wants us to trust him as our source. The second message I shared when this shutdown started, the first one was called Peace in Perilous Times. The second one was God is my source, or my Father is my source. Regardless of what stream may dry up, God has multiple streams to choose from. And there can be many resources, but God is our source. And if he is our source, we can trust him and give him thanks and live gratefully and generously. Because the Bible says this, going on in verse 18, let them do good and share, or do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. I want to close with this. I trust in the living God. I can trust him because he's love. He's all wise. He's all powerful. I can trust him when I'm afraid. I can trust him when I'm stressed. I can trust him when I'm blessed. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. So the key to trust is knowing him. But how do we get to know him? And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So if I want to trust the Lord, I need to seek him and get to know him. Because the more I get to know him, the more I can trust him. Seek him in prayer. Seek him in worship. Seek him in his word. Seek him in fellowship. If we seek the Lord, we will get to know him. And if we get to know him, we'll discover he is trustworthy. And we can put our trust in him. One last scripture, if you want to write it down. In contrast, those who do not seek the Lord, the Bible says this in Psalms 10:4. Psalms 10:4. It says that the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. It seems to me we've become a proud people because we think so little about God. And so many other things occupy our heart and mind. Brothers and sisters, we need the Lord. Let's seek him and let's trust him. I want to close with this prayer just for you to think about now. Is there an area in your life right now where you would say, this is an opportunity for me to trust God. This is an opportunity for me to seek the Lord, to trust him for maybe comfort, maybe peace, strength, wisdom, whatever it may be. If maybe you're facing a time right now where you said, I need to trust you, Lord. I want to trust you and seek you for this area of my life. In fact, could we just go to the Lord in prayer? I'd like to just lift you up before the Lord right now. That if you have a need, first of all, do you trust God's love, his wisdom and power? Because if you do, then the next step becomes a little easier. It comes a lot easier, actually, that you can trust him, you can seek him. But if you have a need right now that you want prayer, you say, I want to seek God and trust him in this area of my life. I want to use this as an opportunity to trust him. Is that your heart today? Would you just slip up your hand right there where you are and let me remember you in prayer? Would you hold them up just a moment, please? God bless you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your honesty, and I thank God hands all over this sanctuary, maybe people watching or listening even right now. Can we stand together and let's call on the Lord in prayer? Father, I pray that you would just minister to hearts right now. You are faithful, Lord, and we can trust you. You love us. You're a loving Heavenly Father. Draw us to yourself. Ultimately, it all should be to come closer to you and accomplish your will so that you get the glory. So, Lord, we submit to you today. Lord, may we seek you with all of our heart and make you a priority. And then may we freely receive what you can abundantly give. Grace, healing, strength, patience, comfort, guidance, wisdom, shalom, whatever the need may be, direction, Lord. I pray that you would do it for your own glory and honor. Would you say, Father, thank you for loving me and saving me. I know I can trust you. I can trust your love. I can trust your wisdom. And I can trust your power. Right now, in my present need, I seek you. I trust you to receive what I need to carry on and do your will for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you.